All right, Shabbat Shalom, everyone. And Shabbat Shalom to everyone who's listening to this recording. As we continue through Rabbi's book, The Fall of Edom, we're starting today on page 140. Our assignment last week, the homework, was to read 136 to 140. And again, if you haven't read it all or you missed some, go back and read it and reread it. This stuff is really good that's in here because we're watching it happen. Last week, Joel, we were probably on page 130, early 130s, and Joel said, hey, you know, can we talk about page 140? And I said, we will. So we're going to do that right now. So this is a very interesting thing. Why is it interesting? Because we're watching it happen in front of us, and it's sad to see. It hurts a lot of people. So let me read this. Page 140, or do you have a mic on you there, Therese?
Rashi added, those who promised to aid you came with you and escorted you to the border of your land, to the boundary, whence they came upon you in war, and with this they enticed you and succeeded. One of the tools of Satan is the gospel of profusions, known as the prosperity message that is fueling the army of Edom today. Satan is confusing the multitudes with a false gospel based on materialism and prosperity. Part of the judgment of Satan in the heavenly realms, jointly with the armies and the nations that represent him on earth, is the internal division within his army in both realms. In the last days, we will see more nations within Ishmael and within Edom who will turn against each other. According to the Ramad, the organs will turn against the head, meaning that total rebellion will take place within the heavenly and earthly Edom's army.
All right. So this is a lot. Okay, so we see earlier that Rabbi, he brought up this understanding that the rabbis of Israel had been talking about. Clearly, we know from history that there have been Islam has come against Israel. Christianity in the form of Catholicism and pre-Catholicism has come against Israel. But there's coming a time where Christianity and Islam together will come against Israel. This is where we're at this breaking point right now, because Christianity has had these last 6 months in particular to really do something. And what have they done for Israel? They haven't done much. They've said a few things, but a lot of places won't even talk about it. They won't even pray for Israel. So just this week, and I'm glad this recording's not live, just this week, there's elections in the Dominican Republic right now. So in the Dominican, they're a country where it's there's no separation of church and state. So basically the church or the believers run the country is how it works there. Thank you, Stace. And so with this election coming up, the president, he got on and he said he made this big public statement in support of a two-state solution and to trying to get all the Dominicans behind him for this two-state solution. So Rabbi heard about it, so he rushed, he's there right now, rushed to the Dominican to talk to the opposition party. They invited him to come. Rabbi's part of this organization there. It's a Christian, almost like a Christian coalition, but they recently have brought on, opened up for a Messianic to come on board, and Rabbi's on board there. So he had a rush to the Dominican literally within the last 48 hours. So you see this idea of Christianity all of a sudden starting to come against Israel. And this is the Dominican who is very pro, I mean, has a history of being very, very pro-Israel. And so we already have Islam against Israel. We see that, right? Including Iran. And when we get to the end of the book, that's where we're going to see this idea of Iran is going to be the ones who destroys the world. This is what the rabbis have been saying. Now, through this book and through Hamas, we've seen all these things that he's talked about. They're coming to pass constantly right in front of our eyes. So this idea, one of the tools of Satan is the gospel of profusions, known as the prosperity message that is fueling the army of Edom today. Okay. And what is behind the prosperity message is this idea of, I want what I want. I don't care what you want, God, from me. I want what I want. God bless America. God bless me instead of I bless God. It's backwards. Sure, will God do some, does he do things for us? Absolutely. But that's not the idea. We don't go to him, hey, gimme, gimme, gimme. So it's not, and within this idea of the prosperity message, there's this idea that God has promised to make everyone rich, and if you're rich, you don't have faith, and something is wrong. That's a big tenet within prosperity. So it leaves a lot of people who are trying to figure out why they don't have everything from monetary things to stuff to healing to all of this, to relationships that are perfect and all of these things. And so you have people feel like they have to put, to be showy about things. So with Facebook, there's a lot of people where it's like their mentality is, if I didn't see it on Facebook, then it didn't happen. So you see everyone puts their, within Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and all these different social media platforms, they put the best things about them they can put on. They want people to look at them like, oh my gosh, look at you, you're so blessed because you just went on this great vacation to Hawaii, or you just got this brand new car, and that is being pushed, and it's being pushed in America especially. So if you don't have anything, then you're not blessed. They don't understand what blessing is. They don't understand what the word even means. They think it means God giving us something so we can show everyone else how much God loves us. Or looking at someone who has less, and say, oh, look, God's not blessing them. God blesses America, but God doesn't bless these poor countries like Haiti or like the Dominican or like Eastern Europe or Africa or South America. He doesn't bless them. He loves America more than, and they may not say that, but that's basically what they're pushing. This idea of American Christianity. This is not everywhere, not everything, but this is a huge push within American Christianity. Next door, we have the Anglicans who, they've been very good to the Messianic communities here in the valley for, I'd say, at least 20, 25 years, probably longer. And, you know, we've talked about this idea and understanding that they're working with us for us to move, and for them, they want to come here. They're helping us with some things to get a new suite here in the complex, and it's in the process. But in talking to the Father Noah, the priest there, one thing he's mentioning, he said, you know, within Christianity, and I'm paraphrasing what he had to say, he said, but we'll never have the great big churches and cathedrals that the Anglicans have in Europe. That's just not going to happen here in Fresno. So does that mean we shouldn't have any Anglican communities? What do? So what they're doing is they're putting a model together of having a community within a facility like this, being able to expand, being able to meet the needs of the people, and having a place for the people to go without this whole quote-unquote prosperity idea about what something is supposed to be, the great cathedrals, right? Now, granted, that's not really what Rabbi's talking about here as far as for the prosperity message, but there's a prosperity mentality in people's minds and their hearts that says, oh, you know what? I go to this big, you know that big church on the corner of Main and First? That's where I go, the big, and they take pride in that. Whereas that's the opposite. We should be coming together because we love God and to do for him, not because we're part of some great. Is having a great big building and a beautiful, is something wrong with that? Absolutely not. But if that's the end goal, you're missing the whole point. So this is the ideal rabbi saying, this idea that Satan is using for people to think they've got to have all this stuff and all these great things, or something's not right. He's got people deceived. He's got them deceived. So when you see people who come to a small community like ours, or even Christians who would go to Anglicans who would go to the community right next door, it tells you something about them in their heart, that they're not looking at that. They're able to overcome that klipa of having to have this big old thing in order to come and worship God together. That makes sense? This is the idea that Rabbi's trying to convey in here. So with that in mind, he goes to the very end. It says here, according to the Ramad, the organs will turn against the head, meaning one part of the body is fighting against the other part of the body that's actually the one who's supposed to be in control, meaning that total rebellion would take place within the heavenly and earthly kingdoms of Edom or Edom's army. Hamas didn't just all of a sudden show up. They've always been. This idea, the spirit of destruction, the spirit of devastation and evil and everything else you want to say about it, they've just kind of remanifested within what we're seeing going on now. That makes sense. Anybody have any thoughts or questions? Yeah. Not a day. Yeah. And again, that's not totally wrong, but man, it's missing a whole lot. You know? It's like saying, well, hey, I'm going to go over to Denny's and I'm going to eat. Okay. Well, I mean, you got to pay for it. You've got to have a seat there. They've got to have room. There's a lot to it than just saying that and making that the everything. And there's a lot of stories we could tell about that, about the whole picture of everything that we have to look at, not just one little aspect and try and make a big old to-do about it. Go ahead and pick up on page 141, if you would, Therese.
Obadiah 1, verses 8 and 9. Nowhere to run. In that day, declares God, I will make the wise vanish from Edom, and understanding from Esau's mount. Then your mighty men, O Teman, will be shattered, so everyone will be cut off from the hill country of Esau by slaughter. The Ramad comments, in that day, in the day of unification, for example, in that day the Lord will be one, on the day of the coming of Messiah, the wisdom and understanding will perish from the mighty men of Edom. They will be killed, which is the opposite of the word refuge. Edom's union will be broken as written. Surely your enemies, O Lord, surely your enemies perish. All evildoers are scattered.
So this idea they will be ketel, this idea of destruction or killed, which is the opposite of the word kalat or refuge. Edom's union will be broken as it's written. Surely your enemies, O Lord, surely your enemies perish, all evildoers are scattered. So whenever you see this on that day, in Scripture it always means one thing. This is the day of Messiah. This is the day Messiah is here, and then everything is leading up to that day. And when that day comes, then all this nonsense will be dealt with. Until that day, we're going to see things continue to escalate until Messiah has to come and deal with that. We're going to see the nations continue to empty out of Jews who've got they're called to go back to the land. More and more and more and more will show up. And wherever they vacate, that's where problems are going to be. Because the hand and the protection of Hashem will be lifted because they're no longer there. And Christianity, who's so caught up in me, 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 gimme, 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 it's not going to matter. Christianity is going to have a day of reckoning when they see, you know what? God wasn't protecting us because of Christianity alone, but it's because of Israel. And God only continued to protect us if there's no Jews until, as it, to the point of how is Christianity that's left there regarding Israel and the Jewish people. I went online this week. I wanted to find, right here at Fresno State, I wanted to see if they had any Jewish groups. So they have a program where you can get a minor, maybe I think a minor degree in Jewish studies and something else. You've got to really dig to find it in their website. But I also went on the Hillel website. Hillel is an organization that supports Jewish students on campuses all over. And so Hillel basically grades every university to tell you what's going on there, blah, blah, blah. So I looked, and Hillel said, it said, you know, Fresno State is like 21,000 students or something. And it said, Jewish students, zero. So they're not even there operating, because I was going to mention it to you. They're not even there operating. So you see, Jewish students, they don't even go to places like, this is where things have gotten in our society. They're separating themselves more and more and more and more, as they should. And what is it? What does that leave the Gentiles and the nations? Hopefully repenting and praying for Israel. Because as soon as it hits Israel, there's a space for America and the nations to repent and help, or God just finally, that's it. And then if the nations turn against Israel, you know, it's a problem. You know, it's a problem now that 6 months ago, the Church of Christ sold their building on Bullard to Islam. Now they opened a second mosque. That's a problem. So here it is, a big Christian denomination selling out to Islam. Now, and here's the other part of it. Why do they have to sell? Well, probably for a money issue. Why do they have money issues? Because the church wasn't being supported by the people. Why isn't the church being supported by the people? Because the people don't care. And it's everywhere. You know, I mentioned it in our to my brother, who's a pastor out here, and he just said, wow. He was shocked by it. This is the reality of what we're living in. If you look at the statistics, they say by 2050 that the majority of Americans will be Islamic. Yeah.
Well, I could follow this person from she's in Israel.
Who's that?
Her name is Sonia Waters. She lives in Israel.
Okay. Yeah.
He was saying that in Iraq, they passed a law where actually all the people that went from Africa, from Africa to Iraq, they can no longer reject them. Any country can reject them, they have a fine for 20,000 euros, I believe.
Yeah.
And one of these people is, they're from, you know,
They're coming from, a lot of them are coming from like Tunisia, some from Morocco, and then other parts of Africa. Yeah, so Islam is spreading like you wouldn't believe. What else did she say?
Well, you know, in Netherlands, they're now like open like, yeah. What do you say, protest?
Yeah.
People actually, Islamic supporters, they are out there just yelling that if people don't
convert,
they have like a fee.
Yeah.
I don't think that we're going to use the 2050. Countries, Latin American countries like Colombia, the president, he just declared that he's against Israel, that they genocide.
Exactly.
I saw
the Dominican.
There's another country in Central America. I mean, they're not powerful countries, but it's still. Everybody's turning against Israel on the,
yeah.
How you call it? The United Nations?
United Nations, yeah. Yeah.
Hearing of how they're trying to turn Palestine into a state.
Right.
So, exactly. So, Bolivia, I mean, all these.
Look at Venezuela.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Venezuela is interesting because, there's people that have more faith, that follow that Torah. And I follow this person and say, Venezuela is key. Is the way it is because Hugo Chavez 20 years ago publicly he turned his back against Israel. He said that and that's why.
Yeah.
And even here, the United States, I don't follow politics too much, but what is going on in Congress? It's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous. There's only way that a kingdom can be destroyed, and it's within it.
Right.
It's happening.
It's happening.
It's happening before.
Yeah.
And I have conversations with my parents and stuff like that, and it's crazy how society is.
And it's changing quickly.
And, I don't know. I'm pretty sure about the law they're trying to pass that the first of all is the New Testament because it's anti-Judaism. But they just.
Right.
So,
and that's from Christians, from understanding.
Well, exactly. But,
yeah.
But it's coming.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's so much to try and keep up with. It's just too much, and it's evil, and it's just.
I follow this. I found this guy. He's not even a believer, but he's. And now that what happened in October 7th became really well known in the Hispanic community because he says since 2000 I've been saying that there's been another Holocaust.
Yeah.
Because history repeats itself. And now that everything, what happened in October 7th, all of a sudden I have, calls to go and, for having.
Don't speak? Like yeah. That.
And it will be just because of the sin. History will repeat itself. There have been all cause. Well, the one we know is the one that happened in World War II, but even before that.
There's been pogroms and different things. And, you bring that up, and I think people in America, they don't get it. They the Holocaust happened in Europe, right? Well, there's no Jews in Europe to be rounded up, blah, blah, blah. But it's happening in Israel now. It's on the verge of happening in Israel, and Israel's still on the verge of a civil war again. So we have the same thing with Jews killing Jews, which is terrible. And it's sad because we see Scripture says these things are going to happen. It's part of the process of how Israel has to, the things they have to go through to turn to God. So does negative prophecy have to come to pass? No, if people repent. But do we see some wholesale repenting and changing? And we don't see it at all. And so when these opportunities for Israel to be able to come together, they pass and they don't take advantage of it. It's like our 9/11. Oh, there's going to be a revival and this and that, and nothing came out of that. People said, okay, well, we may get hit with another terrorist attack. That became normal. We need to turn back to God and try and... Same thing now. Same kind of thing. Yeah.
Most of the people that believe in something, unfortunately, there is Islamic people. They believe in Islam. In 2008, I had an opportunity to go to England. I went to
okay.
I was there. And I never thought about it until I came with, And then I thought, now that I think about it, there's a lot of people.
A whole lot.
But it is interesting what is going on right now.
Yeah.
And I don't know. We may be the way that the way that things are going,
mm-hmm.
and how everything's, I mean, that days,
yeah,
like that, it seems like the time is
getting shorter. Well, you know, it's interesting. You brought up Europe, so we have the Anglicans there have done a lot, and I've mentioned this to Father Noah. They've done a lot of damage to the Jews. In particular, some of our friends, Maura Gibora, she's in England, and when during the Holy Days, when you go down to the Jewish sector, I mean, there's cameras everywhere. There are police. There's the military sometimes. And you talk about the Netherlands, the Dutch. We have, there's a couple community, or at least one community in Ahavatami that's Dutch. And it's like, when you go there, it's like just a godless, there's not even Christians, really. It's just like there's Islam, and there's a handful of Jews. Most of the Jews are gone, and then there's a few Messianics. You go into Scandinavia, it's like, I mean, they're pretty much atheist. It's not, so what am I trying to say? It's not going to get any better. It's not. There's no signs it's going to get any better, except for a remnant of people who, you know, say, I want to change. I want to follow God. I want to respond to the call. But like a wholesale big old revival? No. No, not really. You know, we, this last Shabbat, I went to a, did you want to say something? Yeah. So he put out this video a few days ago to the president of the Dominican, the prime minister, I'm not sure what he's called, and it this thing has got over, one of them had over 50,000 views, one of them had 20,000 views. You know, so while they're there, they've got it, they're not posting this on Facebook, they don't want anyone to know, because there's Hamas is there. And, you know, they're working on, the president also said during this speech and this whole, that he wants to bring 3 million from Gaza to the Dominican. How are they going to handle that? And there's already talks about this in the U.S. And they've already been bringing him here to the U.S. more and more. You see him around. Yeah, yeah.
And you know, it's crazy that immigration law. I mean, I'm an immigrant, but my dad did everything how it's supposed to be done to for him to come here.
Right. Yeah.
But every I've been going back to Mexico, I drive. So my wife is like from Chihuahua. We drive all the way to Texas, and then we. Well, from last time we went, there was just a parade. Walking on the freeway.
Oh, right. To come across.
Coming to
the San Ysidro? Or where at? Or El Centro?
In Texas.
Oh, okay. Okay. Like Juarez or.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there's people that they're from the middle.
And China and everywhere else.
Exactly. On the same parade.
Yeah. Yeah, these aren't mothers with babies escaping. These are, you know, military age men.
Exactly.
Yeah. They all have nicer clothes than we do. You know, it's all being funded for a reason. Yeah. Yeah. No. They're all, and they have wristbands of different colors that lets them know where to go and has instructions on. So it's organized, and funded. And then it's allowed to happen, you know. And here's the other thing I'd tell people. Don't get your hopes up that all of a sudden if Trump wins re-election and all this is just going to magically stop. This is the problem. It's higher than that. Will he do some things? I believe so, but he's not Messiah. You know, we're back to this idea of people, and even within Christianity, a lot of Christianity, they almost treat Trump like Messiah. And it's a big turnoff to people who look at Christianity and say, why do I want that when you have Trump and all these things and people just forget about it? You know, they forget about all Trump's past, but they accuse the other side of all kinds of stuff. And so, hey, Shabbat Shalom. So there's just a whole lot of lack of focus on Messiah and on end times, and too much focus on, okay, what can I get? It's gone way off. Let's go ahead and keep on reading. Here at the bottom of page 141, it has this word, kalat, refuge, and the word kettle, destruction, with the same numbers, 139. Now, you know, gematria, there's gematria, and then you hear the word numerology, where people take numerology, that's more of outside of Judaism, outside of Hebrew, and they assess numbers to things, and they look in English or whatever to try and figure things out. It's not the same. Is God big enough to use those things to reveal something? Yes. But gematria, it's different because it's Hebrew, and the letters are Hebrew. They're not Arabic letters or Arabic numbers. Now, when we look at gematria again, this isn't the study of trying to, every little thing, let's go and try and find the numeric value. It's more supposed to be, in its purest form, an idea of almost like the frosting on the cake kind of thing. Or maybe it's some extra color just to add a little more understanding to something that's already there. So what you can't do with it is take it and make it say something that has nothing to do with the idea. That makes sense? So we see Rabbi using, he uses it in here because he's dealing with Jews who, they see this and they recognize it and they can't dismiss it. They can't say, wait a minute. No, it is what it is. It's right here, 139, 139. And there's a segment of Judaism that are big into gematria, where they emphasize it, they overemphasize it. It's still legitimate, but it's too emphasized. It's like, you know, having the frosting, you know, that thick on the cake, and the cake is like a pancake. It's too much. Yeah. Well, so when you get into Kabbalah, that's another thing. Because Kabbalah exists. It exists within Christianity. It exists everywhere. Why? Because Kabbalah is the understanding and the study of the connection between within time and space, outside of time and space, and particular two lines of study of creation, the study of the Garden of Eden, and how does God interact with mankind. The Kabbalah, I think, what you're referring to, it usually when people say Kabbalah, especially from a Christian background, it has a negative connotation because we've heard the evil parts of it, where you can take it and you can practice witchcraft with it. But in its essence, that's not what it is. It's the same idea as we talked about, you know, we have matches in the back, we can light the Shabbat candles with it, or we can burn down houses. It's the same matches, it's there. And within Christianity, we see it all the time and people don't get it. You know, and they say, oh, well, Yeshua, he was transfigured, and he went up, and look, and there was Moses, and, well, what is that? That's Kabbalic, that's mystical, that's outside of time and space, and that's a direct connection between outside of time and space to within time and space being manifest for people's eyes to actually see. So you can put that under the umbrella of Kabbalah. When Stephen, when he was being stoned, what did he see? He said, look, I can see heaven. He was able to see the throne. That's, you can put it within the range of Kabbalah too. The other side of that is when they built the Tower of Babel. Now this is the Kabbalah that, the evil part, they could see that too. And they built a tower so they could climb the tower, ascend to heaven. And the idea in Kabbalah is to grab God by his neck and remove him from the throne, and they sit on the throne. So that's the other side of it. So seeing that something exists and knowing what it is and what it isn't is very important, because there's a lot of these buzzwords like that within Christianity that they say, oh, people ask all the time, do you teach Kabbalah? with that kind of idea. They don't know what they're asking. But they've got this idea of one little aspect that's negative or evil that they put everything on. That's not the case. That makes sense? Yeah. 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 Well, yeah, like, say, like Madonna. Yeah. Yeah. So here is Madonna, a nice little Jewish girl who is, but she's Italian. So there's a lot of influence in the Catholic Church, and she's using Kabbalah for evil, or to try and gain some, or to try and control things. You know, I mentioned this before. You can use, use. This is why we don't use the Holy Name. This goes all the way back to that, because there's power in the Holy Name, whether you know it or not. And if you recognize there's power, you can use it to do evil things. You know, there's people who use it. I mentioned to you to walk through walls. Or to cause people to levitate, what else is some of the big ones? To control people, to read minds, all this kind of stuff. It's there. You can't deny it, you can't escape it. It is what it is. It's not it's more the long line of the misuse of something that's there. And within Christianity, they see the results of it, but they just don't connect it to that. You know, when we're talking about Brit Hadashah, go ahead. You have your hand up? Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
In some forms of Christian doctrine, there is Kabbalah, but people don't know.
Well, it's all through it.
And especially the ones that say you can have what you say.
Especially in the Word of Faith, it's full on Kabbalistic and mystical. And the Lord is here to heal you, and there's angels. Okay, well, that may be true, but recognize what that is. That's a connection from outside time and space to within time and space. So you can't have it both ways and just call it something different, but put a Hebrew word and you make it negative. You know, somebody was asking me about it's mystical and mysticism. Oh, gosh, here we go. Because from a Christian standpoint, they think it's some evil. Well, there's all kinds of mysticism going on when you're praying for somebody. You're asking God, who's outside of time and space, to do something, right? You're inviting the Holy Spirit to dwell within you. Well, that's mystical because it's not something that's tangible that you can hold in your hand like a cell phone. And that's the whole idea of it. Can you use that for evil? I mean, do you believe in demons? You believe in angels? Well, that's right in the dead center of mysticism, a being from outside of time and space that doesn't exist naturally, existing whether you see him or not, is what it is. Anybody have any thoughts about that? We've got a few more minutes. Yeah, we do. So let's pick up on page 142, if you keep going there, Therese.
The prophet Jeremiah provides us with another dimension to the words of Obadiah. Concerning Edom, this is what Adonai Zavayot says. Is there no wisdom left in Teman? Have her wise men forgotten how to counsel? Has their wisdom vanished? The Malbim explains that the destruction of Edom is a dual prophecy of two different destructions, of which the latter one is called La'atid.
Mm-hmm. Teed.
Teed. Mm-hmm. Or for the end. The Radak further explains the prophecy of Jeremiah parallels the prophecy of Isaiah about Edom, which speaks of the future along with Obadiah 1 verses 8 and 9, which is for the future. The prophet explains that at this time, the day of the coming of the Lord, there will be nowhere to run for those who align themselves with Edom and the forces of darkness. The destruction of the nations and their serim, or heavenly hosts, will be complete, as all power and authority will be removed from Edom and serim. What is the reason for the great rage by God and his Messiah? Let us look at the next verse in the commentary.
Okay, before we look at the next verse in the commentary, let's talk about, kind of refresh our memories of this. The prophet explains that at this time, The day of the coming of the Lord, or Hayom, we talked about that. Whenever you see the day of the Lord, this is what it's referring to. There will be nowhere to run to for those who align themselves with the dome and the forces of darkness. We see this idea right in the book of Revelation, where it said people are, a couple of places, it said that men are having heart attacks for fear of what they're seeing coming on the earth. And it says that they'll be hiding under the rocks, saying, please, rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face. Who are they talking about? They're not talking about this anti-Messiah. When you look at the context of it, they're afraid of God, because God has said, they know what he said and what he's done, and they know that they haven't done what he said to do, and they know he's coming, and they know that he's coming, and they're trying to hide, and they have nowhere to go.
You know what's so interesting about this too? It says they can't die. They can't.
Something's going on, exactly. So that's when, that's the idea. They're asking the rocks, fall on us, you know. We can't even die. A lot going on in there. So then it says the destruction of the nations and their Sarim. So who are the Sarim? The Sarim are the principalities and powers. They're the highest level of the demons, the demonic who rule over a certain area. And again, we see this all through Scripture. We see when the angel was called, someone was praying, and they said, you know, basically, sorry, it took me so long. I had to fight with the what's that? Yeah. Said I had a fight with the prince of Persia. The prince of Persia delayed me. That comes up again in the Brit Hadashah. And I'm trying to remember where. Thanks. So we see this idea that's a well-understood idea of how things work. That makes sense? Then he says, okay, so the destruction of the nations, and it's the nations and the principalities that are ruling over them, or the heavenly hosts, will be complete. So they come to their rule comes to an end, as all power and authority will be removed from Edom, or from those who come against Israel. Hey, Case, I've got to turn it this way, because this caused me to feedback. And the nations and their leaders. Everything is knocked down. There's no more demonic influence who are over countries, and those who are in those countries are destroyed who come against Israel. What is the reason for the great rage by God and his Messiah? Remember last week we read this idea about who's in Jerusalem, who's coming to Jerusalem. He talks about the remnant, or those who are left from Edom, become an inheritance for Israel. So who's left? How about those who recognize who Israel is? You know, we're here. If all of a sudden this stuff starts going on, you know, I believe in general that we'll be protected. Not specifically, but in general, we'll end up being part of this inheritance of Israel. So what does that mean? That means we have to live through a lot, and we're going to see a lot, and we're going to see a lot of people who say they love God, and they're going to turn. When you have a whole Christian nation just decide they want to turn, you talk about South America, Central America, now we're seeing with Dominican. And the U.S. is right on the, under the right circumstances here, we could turn as a nation officially, politically, really quick. Wouldn't take much. Think about if all of a sudden our current president dies, and all of a sudden our vice president becomes president. Or if they both die, and all of a sudden our, who's next is the chairman. So he would be better in some ways, except that there's the unknown about him. Okay, so there's that, the reality. And then the next would be Schumer, right? Something like that. Something along that line, fourth or fifth. So you start seeing how quickly something can, I mean, our president, he can die a lot of different ways. We don't know how much they're, you know, he's being injected with God knows what just to keep him upright. It's sad. It's terrible. You know, and it's kind of funny because it's pitiful. It's like we're like the laughing stock of, you know, and now there's a certain segment of America, they're looking way back politically. We've had the Bushes and we've had the Obama Bidens, you know, and Trump. How about we look way back? How about we bring back a Kennedy? This is how desperate things have become. And I want to hear what he had to say, and I listened to him, and it's kind of like, boy, really? This is the best we have? So we're back to the same old thing again. Are we to look to them? And look what he says here. There's a serene, or multiple, there are multiple, over America. That whatever happened, they're running some things. And they're controlling people who are at such a high level that they're controlling people and so on. And you know, Walton family, last week, a week before last, they sold, I don't remember the number, a few billion, one day, they sold it. Did you see this? A few billion dollars worth of Walmart stock. Why are they getting out of it? It's their own business. Why? So we see this. There's people who are in the know or connected that have more understanding about things going on than we do. Okay, so that being said, we're going to go ahead and stop right here. So the assignment for the week is to read, how about to page 143 to 150.